Part 8. The Autumn Marriages.
What is wrong?
Asked Emma as they walked quickly to Randall's.
Is Mrs. Weston ill?
No, nothing of the kind. She will tell you herself. I promised I would let her break it to you.
Good God!
Said Emma, suddenly terrified.
Is it my sister and her family? Are they ill?
No, it has nothing to do with them. Be patient.
They arrived at Randall's.
Mrs. Weston, my dear, I have brought her. I shall leave you together. She has not the least idea.
My dear friend,
said Emma,
tell me quickly, what is the trouble?
Have you no idea?
None.
Well, Frank visited us this morning. He came to tell his father that...
Yes?
That he has been secretly engaged to Jane Fairfax for the last 9 months.
Jane Fairfax? Good God! You are not serious.
Yes. They fell in love at Weymouth and have kept it a secret from everybody. Now that Mrs. Churchill is dead, they can tell the world.
Poor Harriet,
thought Emma.
He has hurt me and hurt his father. Why did he keep it a secret from us? But most of all, we are afraid that he has behaved very badly towards you.
I understand. But dear Mrs. Weston,
said Emma sincerely,
I have really cared nothing about him these last 3 months. That is the simple truth.
Mrs. Weston kissed her with tears of joy.
It was our dearest wish for you and Frank to be married, but I am so glad that you have not been in love yourself.
I have escaped, but that does not excuse him. He tried to please me, to make me fall in love with him. He was deceiving me and hurting Jane.
Yes, he knows that he has behaved improperly. He quarrelled with Jane and he reacted stupidly at Box Hill.
Oh, Mrs. Weston, he did not behave like a man of honour. He used tricks instead of depending on the truth.
But he has many good qualities, my dear. They have both suffered a great deal by keeping their relationship secret. Now Mr. Churchill, his uncle, will permit the marriage.
Mr. Weston returned. Emma laughed.
I congratulate you, Mr. Weston, with all my heart, on having one of the most lovely and talented young women in England as your future daughter-in-law.
When Emma returned to Hartfield, she saw Harriet.
Isn't the news strange?
Said Harriet.
Frank Churchill and Jane Fairfax.
Emma was surprised. She did not seem upset.
I am very glad for Jane,
said Emma,
but I am sorry that I did not realise the truth and warn you.
Warn me? Do you think that I care about Frank Churchill? I am in love with a far superior gentleman.
Who do you mean, Harriet?
Mr. Knightley, of course.
But Frank Churchill rescued you from the gypsies.
And Mr. Knightley rescued me from the Eltons by dancing with me at the ball. That was a noble, kind, generous action. He is the best gentleman on the earth.
Good God!
Cried Emma.
I suppose, Miss Woodhouse, that you think that Mr. Knightley is too far above me. But if I am fortunate, if he returns my love, I hope you will not put difficulties in the way.
Do you think that Mr. Knightley is in love with you?
Yes,
replied Harriet.
I have seen signs.
Emma dropped her eyes and sat silently for a few minutes. She looked into her own heart. She made rapid progress, arriving suddenly at the whole truth. It darted through her with the speed of an arrow that Mr. Knightley must marry no one but herself. Harriet talked about Mr. Knightley. They had danced at the ball, walked together at the strawberry party, sat next to each other at Hartfield. Emma remembered his words at the ball.
She is a natural modest girl that any man...
At Donwell, he asked me if I was in love with anyone.
Perhaps he was asking for his friend, Robert Martin.
No,
said Harriet firmly.
He did not mention Mr. Martin. I care nothing for Mr. Martin. Dear Miss Woodhouse, tell me, Do you think he loves me?
He is the best person in the world,
said Emma.
That is all I can say.
Emma was completely confused. She knew that she had been blind to the feelings of others and to her own heart. When had Mr. Knightley become so dear to her? She compared Frank Churchill and Mr. Knightley. She had always thought Mr. Knightley superior. She had never really cared for Frank Churchill. She had behaved very badly. She had encouraged Harriet to fall in love with the wrong men. She had believed herself in the secret of everyone's feelings. She had tried to arrange other people's lives. And she herself had made Harriet vain and independent enough to dream of being the mistress of Donwell Abbey. Emma had never known before how much her happiness depended on being first with Mr. Knightley, first in interest and affection. She remembered how often they had quarrelled, but still he had loved her and watched over her. In spite of her faults, she knew that she was dear to him. But he had been very angry with her at Box Hill. The weather was dull and wet, and Mr. Woodhouse was unhappy. She had to amuse him constantly. But in the afternoon, the rain cleared and there was calm sunlight. She went into the garden and walked around it once or twice. Then she saw Mr. Knightley. He had returned from London. He looked worried. Had he told his brother that he wanted to marry Harriet? Did Mr. Knightley now want to talk to Emma about his love for Harriet?
I have some news which will surprise you, she said.
If it is about Jane Fairfax and Frank Churchill, then I have already heard, he replied.
You are probably not surprised. You tried to tell me that they had an understanding, but I was blind.
She sighed heavily. He took her arm in his and pressed her hand against his chest.
Time, my dearest Emma, will heal the wound. The abominable scoundrel. He doesn't deserve her.
Emma realized what he thought.
You are very kind, but you are mistaken. I was blind, and I did some silly things. But I am glad that he and Jane are together. I never loved him.
Emma,
he cried, looking into her eyes.
I may have given the wrong impression, but I have never been attached to Frank Churchill. I enjoyed flirting with him. Now I understand that he was hiding his true feelings behind his attentions to me, but I was always safe from him.
Well,
said Mr. Knightley,
he is a fortunate man. He is going to marry one of the best of women. I envy him.
Is he going to speak about Harriet?
Thought Emma.
Emma, I want to tell you why I envy Frank Churchill. I cannot be wise, Emma. I must tell you what I feel, although I may wish it unsaid the next moment.
Then don't speak,
she said quickly. He must not tell her about Harriet. He was silent. Emma could see that he was suffering. As a friend, she ought to give him support in his love for Harriet.
I stopped you ungraciously just now, but if you wish to speak to me as a friend, I shall listen.
As a friend?
Repeated Mr. Knightley.
No, Emma. Not only as a friend. No, I have gone too far. Tell me then, have I no chance of ever succeeding?
He stopped. The expression of his eyes made her feel weak.
My dearest Emma, tell me at once. Say no if you must. You are silent. I ask no more.
Emma was afraid to believe the truth.
I cannot make speeches, Emma. If I loved you less, I might be able to speak about it more. All these years I have told you the truth about yourself, and you have borne it as no other woman in England would have borne it. But you also have wonderful qualities."
Emma suddenly understood the whole truth. Harriet had been mistaken. Harriet was nothing to him. She herself, Emma Woodhouse, was everything. She told him what she had discovered about her own heart. Mr. Knightley was amazed. He had come unselfishly to comfort Emma for the loss of Frank Churchill. Within half an hour, he had passed from the greatest depression to perfect happiness. So Emma agreed to marry Mr. Knightley.
"You must call me George," he said.
"But I have called you Mr. Knightley all my life. I shall call you George in the church. But while my father lives, I cannot leave Hartfield to live at Donwell Abbey. It must be a long engagement."
"Then I shall come to live here at Hartfield."
Mrs. Weston showed them a long letter from Frank Churchill explaining his behaviour. He apologised to everyone and admitted his mistakes. He should not have flirted with Miss Woodhouse. He should not have embarrassed Jane by sending her the piano as a gift. But luckily, everything had ended happily.
"I am the child of good fortune," he wrote.
"What will Harriet do now?"
wondered Emma.
"Even Harriet cannot fall in love with more than three men in one year."
But Robert Martin still loved her. When he asked her again to marry him, she accepted gladly. All Highbury was talking about the engagement of Miss Woodhouse and Mr. Knightley.
"Poor Knightley,"
said Mrs. Elton. But everybody else was happy. Except Mr. Woodhouse.
"I am no friend to marriage,"
he said.
"Poor Miss Taylor, poor Isabella. Do not get married, my dear."
Luckily, somebody in the area stole some chickens and turkeys from the Westons during the night. Other houses were robbed.
"If Mr. Knightley lives at Hartfield, Papa,"
said Emma cleverly,
"he can protect us. We can sleep well at night."
So even Mr. Woodhouse was glad that Emma was going to get married. In September, Harriet and Robert Martin were married. In November, Jane and Frank Churchill were married. In October, the wedding of Miss Emma Woodhouse, the mistress of Hartfield, and Mr. George Knightley, the master of Donwell, took place. It was a small wedding. Mrs. Elton's wedding, she said, had been much grander. But the small number of true friends who witnessed the ceremony knew that the marriage was one of perfect happiness.